This week on Beyond Stillness, Stories After Stroke, we spotlight guest Julie Kitamura from Santa Cruz, California. Julie shares how friends, acquaintances, groups, and programs have helped her progress. She also offers a story about an unlikely comment from an unlikely friend who shifted her perspective on the circumstance. Her story is entitled, What I've Learned. Thank you for joining us for part two, Julie Kitamura's interview. Hello and welcome to Beyond Stillness. Stroke offers a powerful, life-changing shift in perspective. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. This radio show, Beyond Stillness, offers an hour of pause for storytelling and reflection. Ultimately, Beyond Stillness is a welcoming environment that reveres the moment beyond stroke's paralysis. Still moments unite humanity and divinity. I'm your host, Molly Bucola. Today we welcome guest Julie Kitamura from Santa Cruz, California. She loves spending time with friends and family. Julie was a triathlete before her stroke in 2013 and continues to swim, bike, and run now. She is powered by friends, family, coffee, and future races. Julie's story is entitled, What I've Learned. Before we begin, we take a moment of pause. In Julie's story, she asks, what can I learn from all this? And for our moment of pause, we wonder just that. Taking a moment to recall the trials, the triumphs, the climbs, the celebrations, the relationships. And we wonder, what have we and what could we learn from all of this? We ask for guidance. We ask for grace. We ask for wisdom. And we give thanks. Julie, in your story, you mentioned that you were on a triathlon training bike ride when you suffered your stroke. You thought you had a flat tire, dismounted your bike, and sat on the side of the road. What else do you remember about that moment?
I didn't realize that I couldn't move, for one. Good thing I had a fireman. It's dusk time, kind of late, and the ambulance is coming. The EMT announced me I have having a stroke, and I freaked out. What do you mean I'm having a stroke? Because I have no pain, no headaches, no nothing. Until I get to the hospital, they have a CT scan, and they decided I'm going to have a helicopter ride. And I said, oh, crap, a helicopter ride? How much it's going to cost with the medical bills, right? I'm totally paranoid about the cost with ER, helicopter ride. And good thing Lindsay was there in the emergency room because she calmed me down that day.
That's what you said in your story. You said that Lindsay was there to calm you down and tell you that that's just what had to happen.
Because Lindsay was there before my parents or anything. Lindsay did a lot.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
What are your residual effects from the stroke now?
I have hell of a lot more feeling because I can feel my left hamstring. I have feeling with my legs and everything. And during the last 2 weeks, I can feel physically. I have physical sensation, right? The leg and everything.
Is that recent?
Last 2 weeks, I can swim a hell of a lot more efficiently. I used to be dragging my left leg. I can swim 10 times better. Reiki and acupuncture, Eastern medicine. Can you believe it?
Julie, and you're over 10 years out, and you're telling me recently, like in the past month or so, past few weeks, you've started to swim more efficiently?
Better. Oh, hell yeah.
Wow. Right after the stroke, you were in occupational, physical, and speech therapy, and you were also in acupuncture.
I think it helped me a lot because I'm very, very numb with left hemisphere. I can't. Feeling and stuff is very, very numb. Even my neurologist says, oh, yeah, you get any better. It's not going to improve over a year. I got really pissed off, right?
Yeah.
During acupuncture, I can have feeling for the first couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel my feet. I can feel my lips.
Mm.
Everything. You know, I have sensations with my dead hemisphere with acupuncture. I have feeling. And Reiki too. It's alive. You know, it's alive. It's a big deal. 5 months ago, I realized I could feel my butt. Cabrillo College, the hill. I have climbed lots of stairs. I said, God, I'm hurting. What's going on? I said, oh my God, I could feel my butt. I mean, it's a big deal. Feeling your butt, right? I can feel my butt cheeks and stuff. I can feel it. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And you're 11 years out. And just recently, you started feeling those places, right?
My butt. Yes.
Wow, Julie. Yeah. Before we started recording today, you said that you ride your bike to the bus station.
Right.
And then you ride the bus. It takes an hour and a half.
Right.
And there's a change in there.
Right.
In order to get to Cabrillo College where you are now.
Right, right.
How often do you do that?
Twice a week.
That's determination, but it's clearly paying off.
Yeah, I think so too. I like it because I have to say yes to sleep better. Well, it is very helpful. You know, sleep is important. Stay active. Go to sleep and start the day.
You have a double whammy because I know that athletes say that they sleep very deeply after they've had a hard workout.
Right.
Also, stroke survivors sleep very deeply when they're reconnecting those pathways in the brain. And so in order for our bodies to heal and as athletes to get stronger, we sleep a lot in order to reconnect the pathways and develop strength. So I'm sure that you're sleeping a ton.
Yeah.
Back to your story. You sounded very confident when you signed up for the She is Beautiful 5K race. You weren't even steady on your feet yet.
Right.
So you just started walking a little bit, but you said you were still a little wobbly. And then you signed up for a 5K race.
Yeah.
What do you attribute your boost of confidence to?
My physical fitness. Before I had my stroke, I'm running a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bicycling at least 70 or 100 miles a week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm buffed. My hairdresser says, Julie, you're buff. Months after I had my stroke, my legs are very muscular. That's why 5Ks, no biggie after my stroke.
You say 5K is no biggie, but at that point, your balance was a little off. And then I was surprised when you said that Lindsay said, no way, you can't do that.
I know, I was upset. I was hurt and pissed off, yeah. I took a little, after I first tried, I said, hold it, wait a minute. Yeah, I said, no. You can do it, Lindsay. I'll prove you wrong. I'll prove you wrong.
And you did. You knew it. You had the mental strength and obviously the physical strength. And little by little, you began to develop stability. And you went to the local track and you were walking the track for a couple weeks until all of a sudden you said, I'm a runner. So you tried to run and there it was.
Yeah, it was. It's something else.
Will you tell me a little bit more about the program at Cabrillo College?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Adaptive Physical Education is in conjunction with the Stroke Center. They consult with the Physical Education Department and the Stroke Center. They have adaptive fitness, adaptive yoga, weight training, swimming, even tennis. Adaptive. I signed up at tennis. They have people in wheelchairs for tennis. The staff is very engaged. I can tell all the instructors that they like their job. People love their job, and I can tell. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Celia pumping up my weight all the time, teasing me. I'm lifting like 70-pound weights, and all of a sudden, she goes and pumps it up to 90 pounds. Are you crazy? You can do it, Julie. You can do it. And I, 3 weeks later, I can't.
Yeah. You mentioned that there are adaptive sports and that everyone's very positive and encouraging. What other programs do you participate in there at Cabrillo College?
I started during my stroke. I was busy loading because my mobility is very, very bad.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going for freestyle and breast, backstroke and stuff like that.
Okay, that is great.
Yeah.
We all need a friend like Lindsay.
Oh, yeah.
And like Judy and like B.
Oh, yeah.
So what are your suggestions for people who have friends who have had strokes? What can a friend of a stroke survivor do to support someone who's suffered a stroke?
Just be normal, because my friend Judy goes camping a lot, you know? Let's go camping. I'll do it. I'll take some hikes in nature. She always calls me for silly stuff like, hey, let's go to the picnic or at so-and-so's house or stuff like that. She'll call me again. Let's get out of the house and visit me and I'll pick you up and stuff like that. But she has a very good friend, you know, be out there. That's the thing with my friends, you know, that's important. Get out of your environment and do something different.
Yeah. Inclusion, to keep contacting you. I've heard that a lot of times we start to close up and it's hard because our friends don't know quite how to engage with us initially. And so some of them end up not contacting us as much because they don't know what to do. And so your advice to continue calling and continue including, and then we can figure out how it looks different than it looked before, but let's keep trying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Even texting with my phone, I have, say, like, stupid knowledge of my day, no matter what. I have keep sharing with my friends. They know what's going on with me and stuff. I think it's important, too.
Yeah, you talked about that in your story, how it's important for you to get out of the house and engage with other people. And sometimes we're not able to get out of the house. But if we have a way to connect with other people, like to text our friends or our family members, that gets our mind space out of what might be difficult right here and now. And it shifts us, reminding us that we're connected with people.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
In your story, you briefly mentioned faith. I like that you offered more observations and questions than certainties. You had some profound quotes in there, Julie. I'd like you to tell me a little bit more about some of them, and I'm going to share them one by one, and I'd like you to expand on them a little bit. You said in your story, I need to learn something. I need to find my purpose, the reason I'm here. So far, what are your thoughts on that?
It's for a reason. I thought about it. The night of my stroke, it's a miracle that stranger saved my ass, right? It's a freaking miracle. I thought about God, thinking to myself about God has a purpose for my stroke, being a stranger. saving my butt. Maybe it's kind of godlike experience in my life. So I got it. I understand what he was talking about. That stranger. I mean, it's a miracle, especially with my stroke. Without medical attention, I would be abandoned in that county road. It is it's a miracle. That stranger.
You said, I need to learn something from this.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me a little bit about what you feel like you've learned 11 years out.
With my disability, I face to face with my mortality because my handicaps and my brain distortion with my physical inability, I realized with my life, it's very precious. With my mortality, with inability to move or walk or talk or smile is a miracle. Mm-hmm. Have feeling with my left butt is a miracle, you know?
Yeah. What do you feel your purpose is moving forward?
I have confronted a lot of downfall after the 11 years. I have to think, live in the moment constantly, not in the past, but right here, right now, in the moment, and enjoy myself. It's worthless to have any negative thoughts. It's a waste of time. That's it.
Yeah. Well, you say that's it, but that's a lot.
Sorry. Well, it's true.
Yeah.
AA has the great serenity prayer. Okay, God grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I love the first sentence. God grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change. It's brilliant, right? I mean, serenity and acceptance, the things that I cannot change is brilliant. Courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So freaking awesome.
So good. Speaking of acceptance, Julie, in your story, you wrote, can I let go of my suffering and desire to be pre-stroke me? Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, Buddhism, there's four suffering of Buddhism. Birth, old age, illness, and death. That's four sufferings. It's a lot about acceptance for my suffering. Acceptance a lot. It is tough.
When you are in those moments that you feel like you're feeling the suffering, how do you accept?
Have a memory, I guess. My cousin has a 3.5-year-old son, and it's very happy. It's a small thing. And when he was 2 years old and he tasted a lemon at the age of 2, tasting a lemon is huge, right? For a 2-year-old. And he needs to share everybody about that lemon. Taste the lemon and wow, is this incredible about this lemon? It's a very enlightening experience. I have to remember new experiences and not the negative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I have to bring up, there's always golden moments in life. People have to let it in about the negative. No, it's very difficult
to let the positive in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you have to poo-poo the negative, let it out there, right? And you have to settle in.
Let the positive in.
Yeah, it's very hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lack of control is just kind of stucky.
Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that as a stroke survivor, lack of control?
It has to seek others for assistance and support. all the time. I don't have a driver's license. I have to go get a ride and all that stuff. It's hard to accept, but I have to let it go, right?
That connects with what you said in your story. Let go of my suffering and desire to be pre-stroke me. It sounds like in asking other people for help and surrendering that and focusing on the positive, like you were saying, and remembering those positive moments, you're able to then accept and move on.
Yeah, right.
In your story, you said, "What have I learned from all this? I'm not a victim. I'm a survivor."
Right. Victim is a very, very strong word. It's very negative. Victim is like abusive. But survivor is different than being a victim.
What's a survivor in your eyes?
As a survivor, I have to strive for more. I made it. Let's go on for me. Right? I did it. Been there, done that. Let's move on.
Julie, you are a survivor. You always strive for more.
Well, yeah.
And you move on.
Yeah. Thanks, Molly.
Thank you. And this week, for our moment of pause, we will turn to the Serenity Prayer, which is a suggestion of Julie's. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Amen.
I love the ending for the Serenity Prayer is perfect. Serenity Prayer is perfect. Thank you. That is like icing on the cake. I mean, this is genius, that Serenity Prayer.
Thank you for devoting time and space to listen to Part 2, Julie Kitamura's interview. For the full story, please listen to Part 1, Julie Kitamura's story. Each colorful memory creates a parable for life's greater teachings, a compass for journeys ahead, and inspired wisdom for unique growth. In this episode of Beyond Stillness, guest Julie Kitamura from Santa Cruz, California, shared how friends, acquaintances, groups, and programs have helped her progress. She also offered a story about an unlikely comment from an unlikely friend who shifted her perspective on the circumstance. Her story is entitled, What I've Learned. If you enjoyed this moment of pause for storytelling and reflection, please like, share, or subscribe to the Beyond Stillness Stories After Stroke podcast. Again, thanks for listening. And remember, as part of the stroke community, you are more than supportive. You are inspirational.
If you're a part of the stroke community and have a story you'd like to share on the show, please contact us. Email molly@beyondstillness.org.